May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. There's a story about Fiorella LaGuardia, who was the mayor of New York City during the worst days of the Great Depression and all of World War II. He was called the Little Flower by many New Yorkers because he was only 5'4", and he always wore a carnation in his lapel. He was a colorful character. He used to ride the New York City fire trucks, raid speakeasies with the police department, take entire orphanages to baseball games, and whenever the New York papers were on strike, he would go on the radio and read Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at night court in an area that served the poorest ward in the city. LaGuardia had dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her, her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper, from whom the bread was stolen, refused to drop the charges. "It's a really bad neighborhood, Your Honor," said the shopkeeper told the mayor. "She's got to be punished to teach others around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I have got to punish you. The law makes no exception. $10 for 10 days in jail." But even as he pronounced sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into his hat, saying, "Here is the $10 fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." The following day, the New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. And 50 cents of that amount was contributed by the red-faced grocery store owner. Then some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and New York policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents, gave the mayor a standing ovation. Here's my question. Did the elderly lady in the story get what she deserved? Of course not. She had stolen a loaf of bread. She had a good reason to take the bread, but still she broke the law and had to be punished. What we see in the story is called grace. Grace is when one in superior power shows kindness or mercy to one in a lesser position. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve, unmerited favor. Mayor LaGuardia, rather than demanding punishment of the woman herself, paid the fine. That is just what God did for us. We were guilty and had to be punished, but Jesus paid our fine on Calvary. It was more than she deserved. It was more than we deserved. It was grace. That is what our gospel text this morning is all about. It's all about grace. In the parable of the workers in the vineyard, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner that went out and hired workers for his vineyard. Some he hired early in the day, telling them he would pay them the usual daily wage. He went back at different times of the day and found more workers wanting to work. Each time, as he hired those that were there, he told them that he would pay them a proper wage. At the end of the day, he came to pay the well workers. He began with the ones most recently hired, and he paid them a full day's wage. Those that had worked all day figured that they would get paid more than agreed upon because they had worked all day. They were excited, but their excitement was short-lived. They were pretty upset when they found out they were getting paid the same wages as the ones who had worked only a few hours. The landowner tried to explain to them that he wasn't unfair to the first hired workers. He gave them what they had agreed upon, so he was being fair. What the landowner knew a lot about us, and the pay is the kingdom of heaven. And as we study this parable, we see that it's about grace. First of all, the parable says that grace is received, not deserved. For all of us who are people of faith know that grace is the unmerited favor of God. Nothing that we can do can earn God's grace. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, and all we can do is gladly receive it. It is a free gift of God. Grace is hard for us to accept. We think today that we should get what we deserve. If I work a full day, I deserve a full day's wage. I'm glad that I don't get what I deserve. I deserve God's wrath. But he gives me grace. Ephesians 2:8 reads, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not yourselves. It is the gift of God." No matter how hard we work, we don't deserve grace. We can't earn salvation. It is a free gift from God. Grace is given freely, and all we have to do is accept grace. God's grace is about mercy, not about fairness. What we think would have been fair would be to pay the workers who have worked all day more wages than the ones who work only an hour. We think, now that would be fair. When we speak about grace, we should remember that it's not about fairness. It is about mercy. God loves us and gives us what we haven't earned. Grace is received, not deserved. God's grace is about mercy, not about fairness. God's grace is just as much for the last as for the first. Some Christians think that because they were saved at an early age and lived all their lives as a Christian, that they deserve more than the older people who were saved in their elder years. But God doesn't see it that way. You see, none of us deserve grace, no matter how long we've been Christians. Deep down inside, all people have this attitude that life is a gift. Life itself, the abundant life, eternal life, is all a gift. It is not God who owes us anything. No matter how badly we mess up, God loves us. But just as much as he ever will or as it ever has, God's heart is giving, self-sacrificing, forgiving heart. God's heart can turn us into people who rejoice over the fortunes, good fortunes, of other people, regardless of our own circumstances. God's heart injected in us allows us to see what God's kingdom is all about. It turns the world's rules upside down. In God's kingdom, greatness is not measured by who ends up on the top of the heap. Being rich does not mean having material possessions. Getting even with people who wrong us is out. God is always available to anyone who reaches out to him, whether they reach out to him and whenever they reach out to him and whenever, wherever they reach out to him. Any time is the right time in God's eyes. God's grace never runs out. It is limitless because God is sovereign and just. If you and I want to have relationships that last for the long haul, then we must be willing to extend forgiveness to others. Forgiveness is costly. It's not easy to ask for forgiveness. It is certainly not easy to extend forgiveness to those who wrong us. Forgiveness is the virtue we most enjoy and least employ. Forgiveness is not natural. That is why it's so hard to do. Forgiveness is not fair. Our sense of justice wants to be vindicated. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that is a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for her long service or high achievements, that is an award. When a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unearned favor. That is what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. God's gift to us is the gift of eternal life with him. It doesn't matter to God how long we have been with him in faith. God chooses to invite us to spend eternity with him. We can choose to accept or reject his invitation. If we choose to accept him, we choose to reject the attitudes and behaviors that God does not like. If we think that good works are the key to getting into heaven, we are blinded by our sense of our own goodness, and we can't see the goodness of God's grace. If we start asking ourselves, who deserves to be forgiven, we soon find out that the answer is no one. No matter how hard we work, we can't be good enough. The good news of the gospel is that we can't be obtained. Is that what can't be obtained by good works? Christ gives to us as a gift of grace. God forgives us and frees us from the mistakes of the past. We are all put on a new level horizon. No one is higher than anyone else. We sit at the round table. The ground is level before the cross. 2 or 3 years before the death of John Newton, a former slave captain and eventual author of the song Amazing Grace, when his sight was so dim that he was no longer able to read, a friend and a brother in ministry called to have breakfast with him. Newton said, "I am not what I ought to be. How imperfect and deficient I am. I am not what I wish to be. Although I abhor that which is evil and would cleave to what is good, I am not what I hope to be. But soon I shall be out of mortality and with all its sins and imperfections. Though I am not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, nor yet what I hope to be, I can truly say I am not what I once was, a slave to sin's Satan. I can heartily join with the apostle and acknowledge that by the grace of God, I am what I am." What a great testimony to the one who wrote Amazing Grace. He knew well what the grace of God could do for a person. God's grace can not only save us, but also teach us how to live right in this world of sin. Amen.